Good evening. The time is 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Raven Radio News Director Robert Woolsey. Welcome to the first in our series of live election forums on Raven Radio. Tonight we're featuring school board candidates Amy Morrison, Cass Pook, and Eric Van Sice. We'll be taking listener calls tonight. The number to call if you have a question for the school board candidates is 747-5877. You can also email your questions to news@kcaw.org. That's news@kcaw.org. Or you can post a comment on the forum thread on the Raven Radio Facebook page. Raven Radio's election forums will continue next Monday evening, September 17th, when we'll hold a special two-hour forum live at Harrigan Centennial Hall for Sitka's five candidates for assembly and three candidates for mayor. Each group of candidates will get an hour to answer audience questions, so please consider turning out next Monday at 6 p.m. and joining the conversation. On Monday, September 24th, we'll hold a final election forum on our two local ballot propositions. Prop 1 is a citizen initiative to reinstate the senior sales tax exemption. Prop 2 is Sitka's chance to opt out of the statewide ban on smoking in public places. While smoking will remain outlawed in many public places, regardless of how Sitkans vote, smoking will remain legal in private clubs and bars if Sitkans opt out from the state ban. We'll hear from proponents and opponents of both measures during our final election forum on Monday, September 24th. The October 2nd municipal election is our second of three visits to the polls this autumn. We had the statewide primary back in August when we selected the major party candidates for governor and other offices. On Tuesday, November 6th, we'll vote for our governor and congressman and our legislative representative in Juneau. You hear this election referred to as the midterm election because it happens halfway through the president's term. Locally, Republican Richard Wien is challenging three-term incumbent Jonathan Christ Tompkins to represent Sitka. We expect to schedule a forum with those candidates sometime in mid-October, just before Alaska Day. But this evening, we're talking about the municipal election, which is Tuesday, October 2nd. It's coming up. It's just around the corner. And I've got Amy Morrison, Cass Pook, and Eric Van Sice, school board candidates running for two open seats on the school board. Both are three-year terms. Let me just get everybody's microphones on and say welcome. Thanks for coming in this evening. We'll start with Cass Pook, a 17-year incumbent on the school board. And Cass, you've had a busy month. You missed the chamber forum on Wednesday. I wonder if you would just take a moment and reintroduce yourself to our listeners and let them know why you're interested in another term on the school board.
Okay. My name is Cass Pook, and I have served 17 years on the school board, and I have a passion for kids and advocating for them, and it's been a privilege and honor to serve for them for the number of years that I have. I also am on the board of directors for Alaska Association of School Boards, and my husband is Stuart Pook. My parents are Pete and Bertha Karras, and I have five children, and my last one just left home a few months ago, so I have an empty nest. You forget what you're going to say when you get on here. So, anyway, I just, look forward to this, campaign and answering the questions that you have concerns about, and that's it.
All right. Thanks, Cass Pook. Amy Morrison, political newcomer, but not a newcomer to Sitka. Introduce yourself and tell us why you'd like to be on the school board.
All right, thank you. My name is Amy Morrison, and I am married to Vaughn Morrison. He works at the State of Alaska Department of Transportation at the airport. We have three daughters, Chloe Morrison and Riley Nutting, who are both freshmen at Sitka High School this year. And then our oldest daughter, Ashlyn Nutting, graduated as a co-valedictorian from Sitka High School in May. And she's a freshman in the Honors College at Boise State University, where she's studying Spanish secondary education. I'm running for the Sitka School Board because I want to serve the community that I've been part of for the last 22 years. I moved here in 1996, and as a parent of three children that have all been in the Sitka School District, I've been actively involved in their education and their extracurricular activities, including sports, music, drama, and arts. I feel like I would bring a unique perspective to the school board, and that I'm a parent of current students. I've been a business professional in the community for over 20 years, and I have a degree in business finance. In Sitka, we're privileged to have incredible teachers, administrators, and staff at our schools. And as a board member, I would work to ensure that they're all held to the highest standards and want to make the success of our students my number one priority. I will be an advocate for students and will work to guarantee that they graduate with the skills needed to be successful in life and contributing members of society.
All right. Thanks. Amy Morrison. Eric Van Sice, one term incumbent on the school board. Reintroduce yourselves to yourself to our listeners and why you'd like to be on the school board again.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Eric Van Sice. Been a resident here in Sitka for 24 years. I moved over here from the community of Hoonah. At that time, I was working for the Forest Service and continued that up and through 1998. At that point in time, I was able to shift over to Search and worked in the EMS the department there as an EMS educator and was part of the initial founding crew of the Search Medevac program and flew Medevac for them for 12 years and continued doing medical education. Back in, I guess it was 4 years ago, November of 2014, shifted over to Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, working out there with Maritime Safety as a gear manager and working in that department. And it was a good fit for me because I just recently finished 29 years as a commercial fisherman, owner-operator, so that's been working good. Family-wise, my wife, Leah, and I, we're coming up on 24 years together. We have two sons, both born and raised here. Our youngest one just graduated with Amy's daughter. They grew up together. And both of our sons are up at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Our oldest son, Tristan, is finishing his senior year and going to continue on with his master's degree studies in computer science. Younger son, Leif, is doing digital journalism, doing his videography work and whatnot. So we're excited that they're up there and using the state-supported schools up there. As far as running or throwing my hat in again, it was for me, it was a decision that initially seemed a little bit of a challenge, what to do, but in reality, my decision became quite easy, and it was because of the staff that we have on our district, the support from our community, and also my fellow board members. It's a cohesive team, and I'm one of these people. I'm at this point in my life at 57 years old that I need to be surrounded with people who are not apathetic. I want to be with people who are focused and who want to tackle problems and solve them. And I view the community, our district, and my fellow board members as part of a complete team. And I would like to continue being a part of that team. So I'm looking for support for re-election. And whatever the outcome, however it is, I feel our district will be in good hands.
All right. Thank you, Eric Van Sice. I have a lot of questions for the school board candidates. And this year, Raven Radio is actually, we've sent surveys around to our candidates, both for school board and for assembly and mayor. And we're allowing folks to just read the candidates' positions on a variety of issues in their own words. It'll be on the KCAW Election Hub on our website, kcaw.org. We hope to have it ready by late tomorrow, if everybody gets their answers in time. This weekend, we hope, at the latest. So we'll talk about some of those questions tonight, but this is also a chance for people listening out in our audience to get your questions in now. The number is 747-5877, or you can email me at news@kcaw.org. And I'll ask your question for you. You can also post a question on the Raven Radio Facebook page. This forum thread is right up at the top of the page. I wanted to just dive in with this question we got via email just before we went on the air. This question from Mike. I want to start with this because last night at the school board meeting. I don't think you were there, Cass, but Mary Wegner, superintendent, mentioned that enrollment is down a little bit than where she hoped it would be at this time of year. There, she's not making any dire predictions yet, but the school count is in October. The budget is based on a number that the district assumes it's going to be at in October, and we're just a little bit below that. But this question from Mike via email, news@kcaw.org, is sort of relevant to that. With the tight budget in recent years, every student enrolled plays a key part in helping to fund the academic, activity, and technical programs the community has come to expect. Private schools, homeschooling, and the increased enrollment of local students at Mount Edgecombe High School have become significant forms of competition for the Sitka School District. Why do you believe that the Sitka School District is the best place for parents to send their students K through 12? And what will you do as a board member to help advocate and build community trust that the Sitka School District is the best choice for their children? Amy, would you like to take a shot at that?
Sure. I guess the first thing that I think of with this is just the variety of choices that are offered through the Sitka School District as far as extracurricular activities and even some of the choices that are offered in the classroom. I know for my kids, for example, they've been able to participate in sports, music, vocational education courses, even some of the language courses. I mentioned at the luncheon yesterday that my oldest daughter graduated with, I believe it's over 30 college credits from being able to do dual enrollment with UAS and other schools. So I think that the school district definitely excels and shines in that area where they offer some of these things that you can't get through these other programs. But as far as helping advocate and build community trust, I think the one thing that I see is just a parent and a community member is maybe building on communication between the schools, the administration, the school board, and the community as a whole. There's just some things I've noticed lately where I feel like as a parent, without going to every single board meeting, there's some things I'm just not aware of that are happening in the school district. So I'd like to see, I know they're happening, I just haven't heard about them. So I'd like to see just better communication so we know what's going on to build that trust.
All right. Thank you, Amy Morrison. Cass Pook, the question is, what will you do as a board member to help advocate and build community trust that Sitka School District is the best choice for children?
Well, we are in our third year or fourth year of social emotional learning, and we did have the trauma informed conference for teachers this year, and I think there's a wealth of information there on how we treat kids, how we interact with them so that they feel valued. And we are starting to show in our data that that is making a difference. Something that we have in the Sitka School District to offer is our vocational programs, our music, and some sports that you can't get at Mount Edgecombe High School. But you're always going to have that factor of where a student is going to feel welcome, and we have no control over that. And so I'm for advocating for where the child feels or the student feels more comfortable, and I'm not going to look at the money that the district gets. Because my advocacy is that I want them to be where they're comfortable and where they feel welcomed. And I think that, from when I started until now, I think students are feeling more welcome because of the progress that we've made by advocating for them. And so I would continue to advocate in that way.
All right. Thank you, Cass Pook. Eric Van Sise, what, as a board member, how would you make the case that the Sitka School District is the best choice for kids?
I would echo, what both my fellow candidates. I'll add in things of my own thoughts, but we track along. Some things that stand out to me with our district is when you look at the longevity of our staff, of our teachers. I've worked in a lot of different industries, but it is quite remarkable when we have the number of teachers that have put in 10, 15, 20, 25 years Many of them have retired here and continue. So I see the longevity of the staff and the attraction of how much of our staff, our new staff, actually grew up here, you know, and come back as teachers. The variety of the programs that our district offers, you know, starting right at kindergarten on up through senior year in high school, we network very, very heavily with our community partnerships, Sitka Tribe, Sitka Sound Science Center, the Fine Arts Camp, Forest Service, fishing. I mean, the list goes on. Coast Guard. We have such a wealth of community resources and assets that we tap into and bring those people in and enrich this, the students' lives and their learning ability. The well range as far as, you know, the music programs, Performing Arts Center, both Mike Ken has referred to the vocational education facilities. We have the finest in the state. It's just, I just see lots and lots of opportunities for children, a lot of choices. And I really, truly, truly feel that the staff, the teachers, the paras, the support staff, that the district administration, they truly, truly care about the kids. There's no hidden agendas. It's just the whole focus, the whole vibe that I get is it's about our kids. We have one shot. Let's make it right. Let's make it welcoming. Let's make it a safe environment. And I think we have that.
All right. Thank you, Eric Van Sais. The number to call is 747-5877. You can also email a question for school board candidates to news@kcaw.org. You can also post a question on our Facebook page. Just look for this forum thread at the very top of the the Raven Radio KCAW Sitka page. I had, as I mentioned, there were some people who emailed questions in advance. I thought I'd hit a few of these. This is from Stephen. I'll start with you, Cass. What does the ideal relationship between the school board and the superintendent look like? And as a veteran of 17 years on the board, you've seen your share of superintendents.
A respectful relationship that you can hear each other out. When you have concerns, that there's an open door policy. And our superintendent does have that, our past superintendent did, so that when people have concerns, they feel that they can, that the superintendent is approachable. I've always felt like the superintendent is approachable, and that's not always the case. And the longevity that we have with our superintendents says something about our relationship as a board. There are things that in the past has been frustrating for board members when you feel like you're not in control of a situation, and that's when it comes to management. We have to trust that the superintendent is doing their job and back them up. Teamwork.
All right. Thank you, Cass Book. Eric Van Sais, the ideal relationship between the school board and the superintendent, what does it look like? This is a question from Stephen via email.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. For me, it's clear communication in both directions. When in doubt, communicate, talk via whatever means it is. I frequently do that with Mary. If there's something I'm not quite sure about, she's very receptive at having that communication. So that would be something. Mutual trust, backing each other up. We need to know that we've got each other's back, but at the same time we are the superintendent's supervisor, as you could say. I mean, so there is oversight and things like that, but we don't wield that type of authoritarian tone. It's a mutual respect and support. For me, for a relationship is the ability to agree to disagree. We can disagree about things, but the caveat is that to do so respectfully from both directions. And those are some things that are important to me as far as a relationship with a superintendent.
All right. Thank you, Eric Van Sais. Amy Morrison, your thoughts on the ideal relationship between a board member and the superintendent, or between the school board, rather, and the superintendent.
Right. So I agree with what both of Cass and Eric have said. just in the communication is going to be key, and working together, having that open communication all the time. I think the main thing is understanding that both the superintendent and the board are always working toward the same goal, and that in my mind, that goal should be what's best for the students. So working together on that, I do see the school board as being kind of the business side of things, setting policy, operating the business end of things, so that the superintendent doesn't have to be concerned with that side of things, but the superintendent would be the one then that implements the decisions that are made by the board, made collaboratively with the board and the superintendent. And I think it's also critical that the board provide leadership to the superintendent and have that trust in the superintendent that they can go out and achieve those goals based on their own personality and their own leadership style. So that mutual trust there.
All right. Thanks, Amy. Let's see if we can get this call. Well, I'm sorry, caller. But it looks like my phone equipment is not picking up your call, so I'm going to suggest that we just direct you to email for questions. I have been getting questions via email, so the address is news@kcaw.org. Apologies for the phone system. It's a bit of a spit and bailing wire operation in public radio, and we did have new phones installed about a month ago, and anybody who's ever been in business and had new phone equipment installed knows the dread. Amy has laughed. Knows the dread that comes with trying to make sure the thing actually functions when it's needed. So apologies for that. It doesn't look like I'll be able to get your calls on the air tonight. But please, please email your questions to news@kcaw.org. You can also post a question on this thread, on the Raven Radio KCAW Sitka thread. So apologies for that, and we shall press on. One of the things that intrigues me about listener questions, or just questions from the public, is because I and a Sentinel reporter come to all your board meetings, and we went to the lunch today with the Board of Education, and we get kind of sort of dialed in to what the board is thinking and what the staff is thinking. A lot of the administration back and forth, that the exchanges that are made that don't ever really make it into the news. We just sort of get a sense of what's going on. But a lot of people in the public, as a result, don't necessarily hear a lot of the backstory and things. And we got an interesting question from Charles, and it's about testing. And I wanted to pose it to you because there probably are people in Sitka who wonder about this when they hear testing stories. And Eric, you'll have this first answer. Charles writes, recent test scores for Sitka students published in the Sentinel on September 7th, and I believe that was probably when the peak results came out, indicate that around half of Sitka students are not numerate and or literate to grade level. What interests me about these numbers is that they have not moved much in the last 25 years, an era which includes periods when the Sitka School District got all the money it requested and class sizes were acceptable. Thus, if money isn't the problem, and as successive school district superintendents have assured us, the teaching staff is entirely effective and the curricula top drawer, that leaves only the students to consider. So I put it to you, why can't roughly half of our students learn? Eric Mansice, what's your response to Charles?
Well, like a lot of us, and Charles, and thank you for the question, it would be nice to have a crystal ball and, you know, to have all the perfect answers. Looking at the question, and I've been thinking of what you have asked, there are several factors that come to mind for me, and I'll list a few or come up with a few. And this is in the district, school districts, not only Sitka District, there is a responsibility and accountability when consistently you see scores that aren't, you know, and core subjects aren't where we would like to see them. I'd like to say, just, you know, for support of what we're doing, Sitka rates out even though it may not seem that half the students, but compared to some of the other areas across the state and across the country, it's not just a Sitka problem. It is a nationwide problem. I think some of this stems from access for equal access for students. We do offer that. I feel strongly that we offer that for students. Some things that have changed dramatically, and this is in no way at all a punt or, you know, shirking the responsibility that the district has, but we don't talk about it enough, is the demographic change of families and what has occurred in the last, you know, 30 years or so, or 40 years. I went to public schools in the 60s and the 70s, part of the baby boomer era. And across the country, there has been significant changes in the family structure and things like that. And there are many things that occur in a child's education that require the pieces to come together. And in my opinion, education starts and ends at home. And doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility. We do. But there have been some very big shifts in those demographics and those situations, more than what we have time tonight. As far as, you know, the money and the curriculum and having top-notch teachers, I think we do the best we can. And I think we are improving our access to data, and especially data that tells us what's working for the kids and what's not working. I've learned as a school board member that nothing happens quickly. However, 25 years, I mean, that's a long period of time. I wish there was a silver bullet that could, you know, give the perfect magic answer, but it's a collective amount of things that are going on. What I can assure Charles and the listeners out there is that this is something that is literally on our immediate radar ring all the time. It is the forefront of so many of our discussions, and what we're doing is looking continuously at ways to get input from staff, parents, you know, what's working, what's not working, what do we need to do, and we're going to continue doing that, and just because our mission is to change these numbers.
All right. Thank you, Eric Van Sice. What's not working is our telephone technology tonight. So if you have a question for our school board candidates, please email it, as Charles has done, to news@kcaw.org. Amy, I'm going to let you answer this question next, but I did do just a little research to kind of ground truth Charles's assertion, and he's not off, but there is some more context to this that I'm sure Cass and Eric, as current board members, are aware. The test has changed. This last year it was PEAKS, and before that it was AMP, and there was this kind of breakdown in the system with AMP. It was a bit of a boondoggle. But anyway, PEAKS came in, and I don't know if it's 1 year or 2 years now with PEAK. I'm not sure. But anyway, the assessment has not been the same sort of test over the past few years. But anyway, PEAKS is out now. It's called Performance Evaluation for Alaska's Schools, and the results are available at the Alaska Department of Education website. And 56% of Sitka students tested in English language arts at advanced or proficient. So this is where Charles is getting his half of all students were at grade level for English language arts. But statewide, only 39% of students tested at advanced or proficient. 45% of Sitka students tested proficient or advanced in math, compared to only 37% of students statewide. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that the comparison between school districts is illuminating in this case. And the other thing, I checked with Cassie Olin, the district business manager, this afternoon. She's also the manager of the food service program. At the end of last year, 36% of Sitka students qualified for free and reduced lunch, which means their household income was at or below the poverty line. And I think that speaks to what you were saying, Eric. The dynamic in families has changed significantly. You've got single-parent households that are not quite what we think of as traditional back in the 60s and 70s and things. Anyway.
Yeah. And I would add also, just if it's respectfully mentioned, that you know, along with the dynamics is the economics within our community of Sitka. There are a staggering number of families, be it single parent or dual parent, that are working two and even three jobs. They're just, and they're doing that because they want their kids to go to school here. Some of them have the option to move, but there's a number of them that are willing to grind it out, but there are some effects from that.
All right. Thanks again, Eric. So, Amy, I sort of backloaded the question, I guess, with a lot of this data, but Charles's question via email at news@kcaw.org is, if everything, you know, why over the last 25 years, if everything has been great, why are we only testing at 50% proficient?
Right. So my view on that is that I don't necessarily think that standardized testing is an appropriate way to measure the success of an individual student. I do think it can be useful for measuring the district as a whole, and it can provide insight. But I think what you have to do with the results of those tests is communicate it to the administrators, who then pass it down to teachers, make sure that that data is being reviewed, to see where maybe we're falling behind, and so we can implement some changes in the curriculum to do better in those areas. But I don't think that an individual student's success can be measured by a test score or even a grade, for that matter. And this kind of goes along with what Eric was saying. You have to look at each student individually and see where they're coming from. And just because they may have a bad test score, that doesn't mean that it's not better than it was a year before. And you have to consider all the different impacts that are being placed on that child. So I do think the testing can provide a snapshot to where the district is performing as a whole. And at this point, it does seem like it's doing a little bit better. I mean, it can be used to measure trends, but I would just be really careful about using it to measure individual students.
All right. Thank you, Amy Morrison. Cass, your thoughts on this question about testing and why Sitka appears to be achieving at about a 50% rate.
First, I want to thank you for sharing that information from a state level. Our scores are actually good compared to the state. And so when we were at the Fall Boardsman Fall Academy last year, I remember the superintendents talking about the new testing and the benchmark going away, and that there was going to be a percentage, the percentage was going to go down. Also, the bar has been raised for student achievement with the new testing. And so kids that took the benchmark exam for 10th grade, the qualifying test, would only have to be at an 8th grade level. But now the bar has been raised about a year and a half ahead of what they're expected to their achievement level. And so there was an expectation across the state that they wouldn't do as well in the next few years. And that was addressed to us by Lisa Peretti and all the superintendent, and also Norm Wooten, that addressed the board members at the Fall Academy. So, and thanks, Charles. Charles, that's a loaded question. My mind was all over the map with that question. And really, to get a better definition of the answer to that question, we always have like math educators or English educators or whatever the question is on achievement, and we usually have someone at the board to show us data and explain this to us, and then we can make a decision from there. So I don't feel like I'm totally qualified to answer this question without an educator being present to explain this. So.
All right. Thanks, Cass Book. Once again, our phone system here is not picking up. We appreciate the calls, but I'd like to steer you towards our email address, news@kcaw.org, if you have a question for school board candidates. Apologies, we have some newly installed technology here, and as I could have predicted, it's not quite working up to snuff tonight. We do have another question via email. This is from Michelle. This just came in. As a former assembly member, this is Michelle Putz, by the way, as a former assembly member, it often felt like there was a competition between the assembly and the school board for money and who had the highest priorities. So how do you suggest working with the assembly to come up with overall community priorities? And Amy, this is your number. You're at the top of the list.
Well, I would say I haven't had the advantage of being a part of that process yet, so it's maybe a little bit harder for me to answer not being a part of it. I would say, though, the one thing I would definitely push for is starting the process earlier and working with the assembly earlier. I have been talking with a current assembly member about this issue, and that was really the strongest voice I heard, or the biggest maybe complaint, if you will, is that it seems to always be a last-minute, desperate attempt. So I would like to start the process earlier. And I would like, I mean, I know the city has their financial problems right now, and we're all, as citizens, being forced to, you know, really look at changes to living here, to the cost of living here. So I recognize that that is a strong concern for our entire community right now. But I would very much advocate on behalf of the schools to the assembly. And really my motto, if you see my signs out there, is the school board is for our kids, who are our future. And I think that that's a key thing to keep in mind when dealing with the assembly and working together with them, is that this is the future of Sitka. And they are worth investing in, because these are going to be our leaders in 10, 20, 30 years. And they're worth investing in. They need to have their education and these vocational skills and everything that comes along with the school district to be prepared to be our leaders.
All right. Thank you, Amy Morrison. Cass, I'm trying to remember the statistic Mary Wegner quoted today for the State Board of Education, but a surprisingly high percentage of our currently seated leadership in Sitka went through Sitka schools.
Like, yes, you know, and I can't remember. It was like 27%.
Well, you know, on the assembly,
in the school district, employees, like the, and I think it was around 70 some percent on being in, like, the legislature or school board, the assembly combined.
Right. So 27% of the staff at Sitka in Sitka mm-hmm. school district went through Sitka schools, mm-hmm. and 70 something percent of the elected leaders in Sitka,
yes.
you know, like the mayor,
mm-hmm.
Matt Hunters, went through mm-hmm. Sitka schools, Ben Miasato,
mm-hmm.
Stephen Eisenbeis, I think, grew up here as well, and Aaron Bean.
Kevin Knox,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so it's...
And Bert Stedman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he grew up here, and...
Jonathan Christ Tompkins.
And so I grew up here, I was born here, so, it was a pretty high percentage, and... I think we have a pretty high percentage in our district of people that were born and raised here that come back and work in the schools.
Right.
Yeah.
So, nevertheless, there was tension last year. I do remember some very tense meetings between the board and the assembly, and I think you played a role in some of that, Cass, last year over how do you establish the highest priorities for the community? How do you work with the assembly?
I think the communication has gotten better over the years, and I would like to me, it's having the courageous conversations. You don't just sit back and not say anything. And so I take the chance, I say what I need to say. And I think last year you're talking about when I asked for funding to the CAP. That's one of the things that I asked for. And because I remember back when I first came on the board and they funded 3% above the CAP, education was always a priority for the community of Sitka. And in the past years, probably past 10 or 12 years, we haven't been funded to the degree that we can. And it's my opinion, not the rest of the board, but it's my opinion. I think that we can be given a lot more than we are given. And we are responsible for the education and the quality education that we give our kids. And my mind has gone blank. But, yeah, it's a priority.
And do you anticipate anything will change between the Assembly and the School Board in this coming budget cycle?
I'm hoping that it will. I'm hoping that the more that we advocate for education and for funding, that maybe what we argued for it last year and we got all our teachers back. And so just keep asking and keep advocating. And I think we could be creative in our funding. And so our hands are tied as a school board when it comes to, we rely on local funding and state funding. And if we don't get it, we've got to be creative in how we put together programs for our students.
And all right. Thank you, Cass Pook. Eric Van Sice, the question from former Assembly member Michelle Putz is, working with the Assembly to establish the priorities for the community. Let me pull up her exact words here. How do you suggest working with the Assembly to come up with overall community priorities?
I think just in my 3 years, to add on to what Cass was referring to, I felt that last year, for whatever reasons, I felt that our budget process, it was much more civilized. There was more mutual respect. I don't know, the meetings that we went to, yes, we're all, you know, trying to advocate for what we need, what they need, but the overall tone and ability to work together just struck me as a nice improvement, and I would like to see that continue with whatever happens this fall election. You know, you're asking about, you know, what we plan to do, and it does, some of it's going to continue based on what the results of the election are. I really would encourage anybody, you know, currently on the Assembly who is running, is that it doesn't need to be an us versus them. We are, it's a symbiotic relationship. We each need each other. Obviously, the district or the city has an enormous amount of infrastructure and things that they need to take care of. There are some dire situations, say the police department situation. I mean, they're looking at some very real, very critical things. I do caution, and I've had a discussion a couple times with, I won't at this point name names, with individuals where they have indicated, well, we've been making certain number of cuts over the years and staff, and we need to see the district doing this, and then maybe things will be a little more, you know, even playing field. And my response, and it was respectful, is that it's apples and oranges. You have to look, when you're looking at cuts, say, to staffing or budgets, what does that position do? In our case, it's a child's education. It's, you know, it's not a piece of machinery. It's not an infrastructure. It's not a building. In our business, or our, you know, what we do as school board members, it's about children, and it's about their one shot that they have at education. So it's just helping current Assembly members and future people in our community really value that it's money well spent. It's just like it's money well spent when the city is able to do preventive maintenance. It actually saves in the long run instead of deferred maintenance. It's no different with a school district in our budget. We're not asking for the stars and the moon. It's just that when we get feedback from our teachers and we get feedback from parents and the principals, and they say, this is really, really what we need. And then we are fortunate that we have Cassie Olin. She is the top-rated person in the schools for Alaska. I mean, she's like the president of whatever association. And so we have people on our district that are willing to look at the numbers. So I think just going to the Assembly, being really honest, and having a good dialogue, I'd like to see what we accomplished last year happen again. And I would agree with what Amy said, is let's start the process. much earlier.